भगवद गीता चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 26 सो प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी श्रोत्रा इंद्रियाणि अन्ये श्रोत्रयाणि इंद्रियाणि अन्ये सम्याग्नेषु जुहति सम्याम् या अग्निषु जुहति शब्दादीन् विषयान् अन्ये शब्दादीन् विषयान् अन्ये इन्द्रियाग्नेषु जुहति. Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Some, that is the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control, and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Purport. The members of the four divisions of human life, namely, the brahmachari, the grahastha, the vanaprastha, and the sannyasi, are all meant to become perfect yogis or transcendentalists. Since human life is meant for our enjoying sense gratification, like the animals, the four orders of human life are so arranged that one may become perfect in spiritual life. The brahmacharis or students under the care of a bona fide spiritual master control the mind by abstaining from sense gratification. A brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Hearing is the basic principle for understanding, and therefore the pure brahmachari engages fully in Hare Namanu Kirtanam, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. He restrains himself from the vibrations of material sounds, and his hearing is engaged in the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Similarly, the householders who have some license for sense gratification perform such acts with great restraint. Sex life, intoxication and meat eating are general tendencies of human society. But a regulated householder does not indulge in unrestricted sex life and other sense gratification. Marriage on the principles of religious life is therefore current in all civilized human society, because that is the way for restricted sex life. This restricted, unattached sex life is also a kind of yajna, because the restricted householder sacrifices his general tendency toward sense gratification for higher transcendental life. Shrotra indriyani anye samyagnishu juvati shabdadin vishayan anya indriyagnishu juvati. Some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control, and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. So the blessing of all the Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada and all the Radha Gopinaji. So this is the second time that I am giving a class. So the blessing of all. I will try to speak something. So today's topic, it is explained in this chapter, which is the transcendental knowledge. So these are different sacrifices are mentioned. So this, in this particular verse, the sacrifices according to one's position in the varnashram is given here. So we know that in the varnashram system there are four divisions of human life, namely the brahmachari, the grahastha, the vanaprastha and the sannyasi. And all are meant to become perfect yogis or transcendentalists. Since human life is not meant for our enjoying sense gratification like the animals, the four orders of human life are so arranged that one may become perfect in spiritual life. The brahmachari means the student life. And grahastha means those who are leading family life after the student life. And vanaprastha means retired life. And the sannyas means renounced order. They have no connection with worldly activities. So these are four different stages of human social order. The varnas are so to speak classification of different occupations, and ashram dharma is gradual progress on the path of self-realization. Both are interrelated and one is dependent on the other. The main purpose of ashram dharma is to awaken knowledge and detachment. The brahmachari ashram is the training ground for the prospective candidates. In this ashram, it is instructed that this material world is not actually the home of the living being. The conditioned souls under material bondage are prisoners of matter, and therefore self-realization is the ultimate aim of life. The whole system of ashram dharma is a means to detachment. One who fails to assimilate this spirit of detachment is allowed to enter into the family life with the same spirit of detachment. Therefore, one who attains detachment may at once adopt the fourth order, namely renounce order, and thus live on charity only, not to accumulate wealth, but just to keep body and soul together for ultimate realization. Household life is one for one who is attached, and the vanaprastha and sannyas orders of life are for those who are detached from material life. The brahmachari ashram is specially meant for training both the attached and the detached. In the Vedic system of knowledge, students from the very beginning are taught to vibrate Om and learn of the ultimate impersonal Brahman by living with the spiritual master in complete celibacy. This practice is very essential for students' advancement in spiritual life. But at the moment such brahmachari ashram, that is for unmarried celibate, life is not at all possible. The social construction of the world has changed so much that there is no possibility of one's practicing celibacy from the very beginning of student life. Throughout the world, there are many institutions for different departments of knowledge, but there is no recognized institution where students can be educated in the brahmachari principles. Unless one practices celibacy, advancement in spiritual life is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has announced, according to the scriptural injunctions for this age of Kali, that in this age, no process of realizing the Supreme is possible except the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the brahmacharis or students under the care of a bona fide spiritual master control the mind by abstaining from sense gratification. A brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Hearing is the basic principle for understanding, and therefore the pure brahmachari engages fully in Hare Namanu Kirtanam, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. He restrains himself from vibration of material sounds, and his hearing is engaged in the transcendental sound vibration only. So a brahmachari's mind is controlled when he engages solely in hearing about Krishna. And we know that in the Vedic system that the brahmacharis generally would rise early in the morning, then they will do the different kinds of oblations, and then they will go out and beg alms, and then they will bring it to the guru. And only when the guru tells them that you can eat, till that time they would not eat. And even if sometimes the guru does not call them to eat, they have to starve. Okay, so it is completely life of austerity. So unless the guru tells anybody to eat, the brahmachari would not eat. And even if he is starving, even if he feels hungry, at that time also he cannot go and ask his guru, "Oh no, I am feeling hungry, why, you know, I should get some food." But that he would not do. So that was the system of brahmachari life in the previous ages. And the brahmacharis are meant for sacrifice. That means the students are recommended to sacrifice, and especially sacrifice for sense gratification. That means they cannot have, you know, sense gratification like what the householders have, like something like a sex. they cannot have like a brahmachari. So the brahmacharis are serving in the spiritual master's places, and they are expected to go to every householder and beg. And there was no system of schooling, and there was no system for payment. The spiritual master, the teacher, he did not accept any payment in pound, shilling or pence. That was not accepted. Because mostly brahmanas, they used to become the teachers. So they were not accepting any salary. And the brahmanas are forbidden to accept anything like that. So the education was free. For every student the education was free. And from village to village, education was free. So in the former days, that is even 50 years before, Prabhupada says that in some villages, there were small schools and all village boys, they were coming and taking education. So education was very much widespread because education was free in this way. So the students were meant to go for begging alms for the teachers, and these are some of the regulative principles. Now that is the sacrifice. They sacrificed their labor for spiritual master, for the teacher, and whatever they got, they surrendered to the teacher. So student life is meant for sacrifice. They should undergo training under serious regulations and penances so that life may be built up for future hope and spiritual self-realization. But the sacrifice is meant for student life. And the principle of brahmacharya is celibacy. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And there are two kinds of brahmacharis. One is called a naishtik brahmachari, which means one who takes a vow of celibacy for his whole life. Whereas the other, the upakurvana brahmachari, is a brahmachari who takes the vow of celibacy up to a certain age. For example, he may take the vow to remain celibate up to 25 years of age. Then with the permission of his spiritual master, he enters married life. So brahmacharya is student life, the beginning of life in the spiritual orders. And the principle of brahmacharya is celibacy. Only a householder can indulge in sense gratification or sex life and not a brahmachari. During the student life, the brahmacharis were given full instructions about the importance of human form of life. Thus the basic education was designed to encourage the student in becoming free from family encumbrances. Only students unable to accept such a vow in life were allowed to go home and marry a suitable girl. Otherwise, the student would remain a permanent brahmachari, observing complete abstinence from sex life for his whole life. It all depended on the quality of the student's training. And Srila Prabhupada says that we had the opportunity to meet an avowed brahmachari in the personality of our spiritual master, Om Vishnupada Shri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj. Such a great soul is called a naishtik brahmachari. So in the rules of a celibacy written by the great sage Yajñavalkya, it is said, karmana manasa vacha sarvavasthasu sarvada sarvatra maithuna tyago brahmacharyam pachakshate. The vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sexual indulgence in work, in word and mind at all times, under all circumstances and in all times, and in all places. No one can perform correct yoga practice through sex indulgence. Brahmacharya is taught, therefore, from childhood when one has no knowledge of sex life. Children at the age of 5 are sent to the Gurukul or the place of the spiritual master, and the master trains the young boys in strict discipline of becoming brahmacharis. Without such practice, no one can make advancement in any yoga, whether it be Dhyana Yoga, Jnana or Bhakti Yoga. One who, however, follows the rules and regulations of married life, having a sexual relationship only with his wife, and that also under regulation, is also called a brahmachari. Such a restrained householder, brahmachari, may be accepted in the bhakti school, but the jnana and dhyana schools do not even admit householder brahmacharis. They require complete abstinence without compromise. In the bhakti school, a householder brahmachari is allowed controlled sex life because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction, being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 59, it is said, ವಿಷಯ ವಿನಿವರ್ತಂತೆ ನಿರಾಹಾರಶ್ಚ ದೇಹಿನ ರಸೋವರ್ಜಂ ರಸೋಪ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಪರಂ ದೃಷ್ಟ್ವಾ ನಿವರ್ತತೆ. Whereas others are forced to restrain themselves from sense gratification, a devotee of the Lord automatically refrains because of superior taste. Other than the devotee, no one has any information of that superior taste. One may argue, why is it wrong to enjoy household life? The reply is that in the household life, one becomes bound by the results of fruitive activities. The essence of household life is sense enjoyment. And as long as one engrosses his mind in working hard for sense enjoyment, one becomes bound by the reactions of fruitive activities. This ignorance of self-realization is the greatest defeat in human life. The human form of life is especially meant for getting out of bondage of fruitive activities. But as long as one is forgetful of his life's mission and acts like an ordinary animal, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, he must continue his conditioned life of material existence. Such a life is called Swarup Vismriti, that means forgetfulness of one's real constitutional position. Therefore, in the Vedic civilization, one is trained in the very beginning of life as a brahmachari. A brahmachari must execute austerities and refrain from sex indulgence. Therefore, if one is completely trained in the principles of brahmacharya, he generally does not enter household life. He is then called a Naishtika Brahmachari, which indicates total celibacy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ideal self-controller or Brahmachari. When Krishna was elected to be president of the Rajasuya Yajna performed by Maharaj Yudhishthir, Grandfather Bhishma praised Lord Krishna as the greatest Brahmachari. Because Grandfather Bhishma Dev himself was a Brahmachari, he was quite fit to distinguish a brahmachari from a vyabhichari. And although Prithu Maharaj was a householder and father of 5 children, he was still considered to be most controlled. One who begets Krishna conscious children for the benefit of humanity is actually a brahmachari. One who simply begets children like cats and dogs is not a proper father. The word brahmachari also refers to one who acts on the platform of Brahman or devotional service. In the impersonal Brahman conception, there is no activity. Yet when one performs activities in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is to be known as a brahmachari. Thus, Prithu Maharaj was an ideal brahmachari and grahastha simultaneously. Similarly, the householders who have some license for sense gratification perform some acts with great restraint. Sex life, intoxication and meat eating are general tendencies of human society. But a regulated householder does not indulge in unrestricted sex life and other sense gratification. Marriage on the principles of religious life is therefore current in all civilized human society, because that is the way for restricted sex life. This restricted unattached sex life is also a kind of yajna, because the restricted householder sacrifices his general tendency towards sense gratification for higher transcendental life. The grahastha performs his sacrifice by restricting sex according to shastric injunctions. A grahastha, those who are living in family life with wife and children, they are expected to give in charity as much as possible. That is also service. So Prabhupada gives an example when he was explaining during his first lectures in 1966. So he gives an example. Suppose you are earning $1,000 in a month. So according to the Vedic instruction, you should give 50% of your income, that is $500, you should give in charity. And 25% you should spend for your family, and 25% as a family man, you may have it in a bank balance, so that in emergency you may require it. So he says, so this is the charity which is the householder he has to do. So yajna dana, this is also sacrifice. So yajna, dana and tapa. Tapa means penance. So the students are meant for sacrifice and the grahastha, the householders, are meant for giving in charity. And as far as the sannyasis are concerned, they have to do penance, that is tapa. So they have to perform that austerity of tapa. So Prabhupada says then that a sannyasi, a renounced order, is one who is in a renounced order of life. His business is that his acquired knowledge and his experienced knowledge should be distributed to the public. So according to the Varnashrama Dharma, the Brahmachari and the Vanaprastha and the Sannyasis are dependent on the Grahasthas. Only when the Grahasthas give charity to these three orders of life, then only they will be able to maintain themselves. So Prabhupada goes on to tell that suppose if there are 100% in a society, 25% are students, 25% are retired life, and 25% are sannyas order or renounced order of life. Now out of 100%, 75% they are engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. Now these three ashrams, they are not indulging in sex life or anything. So these Brahmachari ashram, Vanaprastha ashram and the sannyas, they are only concerned and they are serving the Supreme Lord only. So the householders, they have to maintain. So that is why when they contribute 50% of their income, then they will be able to maintain the 75% of the other ashram. So those who are earning family life and who have got factories, business and so many things, they should sacrifice 50% of their income for these 75% persons who are engaged in spiritual emancipation. And then the four orders of human society, the house, actually it is said here, Prabhupada says that out of the four orders, the householder is on the safe side. So in what way Prabhupada says that he is on the safe side? Is that the bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort of the body. And the wife is supposed to be the commander of the fort. And therefore, whenever there is an attack on the body by the senses, it is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. The sex demand is inevitable for everyone. But one who has a fixed wife is saved from the onslaught of the sense enemies. A man who possesses a good wife does not create a disturbance in society by corrupting virgin girls. Without a fixed wife, a man becomes a debauchee of the first order and is a nuisance in society. Unless he is a trained brahmachari, vanaprastha or sannyasi, unless there is rigid and systematic training of the brahmachari by the expert spiritual master, and unless the student is obedient, it is sure that the so-called brahmachari will fall prey to the attack of sex. There are so many instances of fall down, even for great yogis like Vishwamitra. So for example, we know that Vishwamitra, he was engaged in doing lot of tapasya and he was meditating. But Indra sent Menaka, and just by hearing the tinkling of bells, he is disturbed and he goes ahead and has sex with Menaka and a child is born, you know, that Shakuntala. So even though he was meditating and he was doing that yoga practice without, you know, practice and he was meditating, still just by hearing that tinkling of the bells he was disturbed. So, but like Haridas Thakur, we know that even when Mayadevi herself came to disturb him, so because he was engaged in the bhakti yoga practice, he could not be disturbed. Okay? So a grahastha is saved, however, because of his faithful wife. Sex life is a cause of material bondage, and therefore it is prohibited in three ashramas and is allowed only in the grahastha ashram. The grahastha is responsible for producing first quality brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis. Then the three perfections of liberation are religiosity, economic development and sense gratification. For a conditioned soul, the wife is considered to be a source of liberation because she offers her service to the husband for his ultimate liberation. Conditional material existence is based on sense gratification, and if someone has the good fortune to get a good wife, he is helped by the wife in all respects. If one is disturbed in his conditional life, he becomes more and more entangled in material contamination. A faithful wife is supposed to cooperate with her husband in fulfilling all material desires so that he can then become comfortable and execute spiritual activities for the perfection of life. If, however, the husband is progressive in spiritual advancement, the wife undoubtedly shares in his activities, and thus both the wife and the husband profit in spiritual perfection. It is essential, therefore, that girls as well as boys be trained to discharge spiritual duties so that at the time of cooperation, both will be benefited. The training of the boy is brahmacharya and the training of the girl is chastity. A faithful wife and spiritually trained brahmachari are a good combination for advancement of the human mission. So like the vanaprastha life also, in the vanaprastha life, the husband and wife, they move out of the house and they go and stay in a forest. And when they stay, they perform their austerities there in the forest. And they eat whatever they get and perform austerities. And when the husband is ready to go for sannyas, then the wife returns home and she continues her austerity at home, and the husband takes sannyas and he continues in the renounced order of life. We have the example of Yudhishthir Maharaj. So when he felt that it is enough for him to rule, so he handed over his kingdom to his grandson, Maharaj Parikshit, and he made Vajra the king of Mathura, and he left for the forest. So he was not thinking that he should continue and stay on till, you know, death comes. Like as on today, we see that politicians, even though they are very old, they don't want to leave their chair. They would want that, you know, be there and continue. And recently we saw that in the elections, we had very, very old person who was more than 81, 82 years old. He still wants to become the prime minister. So even though he is so old, he did not hesitate to say that, you know, he wants to become a prime minister. So he should have left actually as per the system of our Vedic knowledge. He should have retired at the age of 50 itself. But we understand that, you know, he just wants to continue and fight the elections. Anyway, he was not successful. That is also we can see. So that we can understand that how Maharaj was an ideal king. So he voluntarily retired from active administration to prepare himself for the next life. So everyone's life must be arranged that the last stage of life, say at least the last 15 to 20 years prior to death, can be absolutely devoted to the devotional service of the Lord to attain the highest perfection of life. It is really foolishness to engage oneself all the days of one's life in material enjoyment and fruitive activities, because as long as the mind remains absorbed in fruitive work for material enjoyment, there is no chance of getting out from the conditioned life or material bondage. No one should follow the suicidal policy of neglecting one's supreme task of attaining the highest perfection of life, namely going home back to Godhead. There is also an instructive story. Once when a saintly person was passing on his way, he met a prince, the son of a king, and he blessed him, saying, "My dear prince, you may live forever." Then the sage next met a saintly person, and he said to him, "You may either live or die." Eventually the sage met a brahmachari devotee, and he blessed him, saying, "My dear devotee, you may die immediately." Finally the sage met a hunter, and he blessed him, saying, "Neither live nor die." The point is that those who are very sensual, are engaged in sense gratification, do not wish to die. Generally a prince has enough money to enjoy his senses, therefore the great sage said that he should live forever, for as long as he lived, he could enjoy life. But after his death, he would go to hell. Since the brahmachari devotee was leading a life of severe austerities and penances, in order to be promoted back to Godhead, the sage said that you should die immediately, so that he need not continue to labor hard and could instead go back home, back to Godhead. A saintly person may either live or die, for during his life he is engaged in serving the Lord, and after his death he also serves the Lord. Thus this life and the next are the same for a saintly devotee, for in both he serves the Lord. Now since the hunter lives a very ghastly life due to killing animals, and since he will go to hell when he dies, he is advised to neither live nor die. So we can understand from this story that what kind of blessings we can get and what way we are leading our life. So it is, and finally, an advice is given by Srila Prabhupada that it is best to remain alone as a brahmachari or a sannyasi or vanaprastha and cultivate Krishna consciousness throughout one's whole life. So those who are unable to remain alone are given license to live in household life with wife and children, not for sense gratification but for cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And cultivation of Krishna consciousness means that we follow the four regulative principles, that is, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication. So following the four regulative principles and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just by doing this, we can go back to Godhead. And that is the our ultimate aim of life. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, you can ask. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your kind lecture. One question is mine, that in this text it is written that the brahmacharis or the students under the care of a bona fide spiritual master control the mind by abstaining from sense gratification. And so far as brahmachari is concerned, they are under the care of bona fide spiritual master. And the grihasthas and vanaprasthas and sannyasi, grihasthas, particularly grihasthas, I want to ask that so far as grihasthas are concerned, so they should have a under the care of spiritual master, or they should what they should do, grihasthas?
Actually, they are also under a spiritual master only, because like when somebody is trained as a brahmachari, when somebody is trained as a brahmachari, he practices the student life, okay, and then he feels that he should become a householder. So then he takes up that householder life. So even though he takes up that householder life, he can still remain a brahmachari. That means he will have sex life only for producing Krishna conscious children. Okay? So that too he will be asking permission from the spiritual master that, okay, now I would like to have child. So whether I should go ahead and have my sex life so that I can produce a Krishna conscious child. So that is what, he is still under the spiritual master, but he is in the householder life and he gives charity. So as he does those functions of a householder, so he gives charity, he asks, so still he is under the spiritual master. He keeps on asking for all the guidance to the spiritual master. So he is still under the spiritual master.
So what is to be understood, that every means the brahmachari, grihasthas and banaprasthas and sannyasis, four divisions, they all should have a spiritual master under the care and guidance of the spiritual master. All the four categories is to function.
Yes, they are under spiritual master always, because even if a sannyasi, he has also a spiritual master, then only he can take a sannyas. It is not that he can just accept sannyas like that. So he has to have a spiritual master. Like a vanaprastha also, vanaprastha also is under a spiritual master, because with his permission only he will go to vanaprastha and practice his austerities, and then he will also take sannyas. So everybody will have to have a spiritual master always. So without a spiritual master, as we also know that without a spiritual master we don't get the connection. Okay? So that connection has to be there to the parampara. So when you have connection to the parampara, then only we will be able to go back to Godhead. There may be some exceptions, but definitely we should have a connection through the spiritual master, because he is the link. So without that link, we are not connected. So we have to have a spiritual master in all the stages of our life. And guidance from him is very much necessary.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.